Okay, welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves at the very bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Bet. That's 30b. 30b is a really short daf, and we are at the Mishnah, which is five lines up from the bottom. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, in this Mishnah, we'll be discussing the Torah readings and the Haftarah readings. The Haftarah readings are the readings from the prophets on all of the holidays. And there are, while much of it will seem familiar to us because we actually read in synagogue on most of the holidays what is said here, and I'm recording this during the Chol HaMoed of Pesach, so every day we're reading something which is related to this Mishnah. There are also some things that are not mentioned in here and some things that are mentioned which are not our common practice. So we'll try to bring all of those out. The first level is the Mishnah itself, and we'll point out what's here in the Mishnah and what's not here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins with Pesach, which makes sense because generally Pesach is considered the first holiday. So the Mishnah says, "Ba'Pesach, on Pesach, Korin, we read in synagogue, B'Parshat Moedot, in the section dealing with the holidays, Shel Torat Kohanim, of Torat Kohanim. Torat Kohanim is another name the rabbis have for the book of Vayikra. So basically what we're saying here is that we read the section dealing with the holidays, which is found in Vayikra chapter 23, Vayikra Perek Gimel. Generally speaking, even though we say that it's the holiday readings, we don't actually start from the holidays, which begins at the beginning of chapter 23. We usually begin from chapter 22, verse 26, which is called Shor Ochesev, which discusses a couple of other halachot related to sacrifices, including the halacha that you're not supposed to kill an animal on the same day as its mother, and that and the laws of offering a karban todah, and those things are read prior to the reading of the festivals, which begin in chapter 23, where it says Moedei Hashem. These are the holidays of Hashem, and it discusses first Shabbat and then all the holidays. And that's why Rashi writes here at the beginning of the Mishnah when it says Parshat Moedot Shebetorat Kohanim that it means Shor Ochesev. Okay, so the first reading is Pesach, and it is the reading from Vayikra. Now, what it does not mention here in the Mishnah is what the reading is for the second day of Pesach, what the reading is for Chol HaMoed Pesach, or what the reading is for the last day or days of Pesach. All it mentions here is that on Pesach we read Vayikra Chaf Gimel. Now, I don't know if that means that the concept was that they would read from chapter 23 every day. They would just do the same reading over and over again. Or if there's some other reason why it doesn't mention all that information, but it doesn't. The next thing it says in the Mishnah is Ba'atzeret Shiv'a Shavuot. On Atzeret, now Atzeret is the rabbinic word for Shavuot. So on Shavuot, we read this section called Shiva Shavuot, and that is from Devarim. The holidays are mentioned a few times in the Torah. As we just mentioned, they're mentioned in Vayikra Chaf Gimel. But they're also mentioned in Dvarim Tetzayin. And in Dvarim Tetzayin is the reading that we usually call either Aser Taser, which is the longer version of the reading, or Kol HaBachor, which is the shorter reading. And in Dvarim Tetzayin, after Kol HaBachor, you have a section that deals with Pesach, a section that deals with Shavuot, and a section that deals with Sukkot. Now, the section that's dealing with Shavuot is very short. It's only a couple of psukim long. So it's likely that it doesn't mean only that you read that section, that parsha that says Shiva Shavuot, but that you read all of Kol HaBachor, and that's what Rashi says here, that you read Kol HaBachor. So just like with the reading in Vayikra, it's a little bit of a longer reading than is indicated in the Mishnah. B'Rosh Hashanah, now it goes on to Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah. B'Rosh Hashanah b'chodesh hashvi'i b'achad l'chodesh. In Rosh Hashanah, we read the section that says, in the seventh month on the first day. That section is again found in Vayikra Chaf Gimel. So it means, or it should mean, that you read the section of the holidays in Vayikra. Of course, we don't do this. We read sections from Bereishit. related to the birth of Yitzhak and to the binding of Yitzhak, but we'll get back to that. Then it says, Biyom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, we read Acharimot, we read the section, instead of reading the section of the holidays in Vayikra Chaf Gimel, which does mention Yom Kippur, we read its own section in a little bit later in Vayikra, which talks specifically about the Yom Kippur sacrifices. Biyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, on the first Yom Tov of Chag. Chag is the rabbinic word for Sukkot. So the rabbinic way of calling the holidays was that Pesach was Pesach, Shavuot was called Atzeret, and Sukkot was called Chag. So Biyom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag Korin B'Parshat Moedot Shebetorat Kohanim. We read again in Vayikra Chav Gimel, just like we do for Pesach. U'Vishar Kol Yimot HaChag, and on the other days of the festival, B'Karbanot HaChag, we read the sacrifices of Sukkot, which is what we do. Here it does mention what we do on the other days of Sukkot, whereas above it does not mention what we do on the other days of Pesach. The Mishnah adds in, B'Chanukah, on Chanukah we do a Torah reading B'Nesiim, of the offerings of the princes that's found in the beginning of Bamidbar, the offerings of the princes to the Mishkan. B'Purim, on Purim, as we've discussed prior, we read the section Vayavo Amalek, a short section of 9 verses dealing with Amalek. B'Rashei Chodashim, on new months, on Rosh Chodesh, we read Uvrashei Chachechem. And even though it mentions Uvrashei Chachechem here, the custom is to start all the way back at the beginning of the Parsha, which first deals with the daily offering, and then the Shabbat offering, and then the Rosh Chodesh offering. The Rosh Chodesh offering itself is only a few verses long, not long enough for a full Torah reading. Okay, so that mentions all of the holidays, and it mentions Torah readings related to all of the holidays. One other thing that it is not dealt with in the holidays is the Haftarah. The Maftir. It is our custom, as we know, and Tosfos mentions, not on festivals, not only to have a Torah reading each day, but also to read a Maftir each day. And Tosfos points out that this custom of taking out a second Torah on the festival days, even on Chol HaMoed, is not found in, not only not found in the Mishnah, but not found in the Gemara at all, and seems to be either a enactment of the Gaonim, or the earliest that Toso knew about it was in Seder of Amram. So in Seder of Amram Gaon, we have this custom of reading a maftir. It seems like they felt it would be appropriate on each festival day to read about the sacrifices of that day, even if the Torah reading wasn't directly about the sacrifices. But that custom was added after the Talmud was completed. Just to finish off the Mishnah, the Mishnah brings a couple of other times when we read Torah, which we don't do in our common custom as much. One is b'ma'amadot. I'm on the last line. B'ma'amadot. Ma'amadot were a period of time when the Kohanim had like a jury duty system where they would serve in the Beit Hamikdash for a week during the year. And when those Kohanim would do it, the Levim would also help out in the Beit HaMikdash. And the Yisraelim, who didn't go up to the Beit HaMikdash, would do special things in their home communities while their Kohanim were serving in the Beit HaMikdash. And this was called a Ma'amad. So one of the things they did is they had a special prayer service. And during the special prayer service, they would also do a special Torah reading. So B'Ma'amadot, when it was your Ma'amad, you read B'Ma'aseh Breishit. They read, over the course of that week, the account of creation. They read a few different days of creation, each one of the days of the Ma'amad. B'Ta'adiyot, on fast days, and now we flip the page to Daf Lamed Aleph, Brachot Uklalot. They read the blessings and the curses found at the end of, these are the ones that are found in B'chukotai, because these Ta'adiyot were not our regular scheduled fast days that we fast. These were fast days in response to an emergency, either a famine or a threat of warfare. And for these Taniyot, they would read Brachot Uklalot so that they would be connected with tshuva, because the Brachot Uklalot say, if you follow Hashem's words, you'll be rewarded, and if you don't follow Hashem's words, you'll be cursed. We read, actually, on regularly scheduled fast days, public fast days that are not related to emergencies, we read from a section in Shemot called Vayechal Moshe. But that is not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah adds a couple of other teachings related to Torah reading. Ein mafsikin b'klalot. It mentions as long as it says that on the fast days they would read from the blessings. And the curses, it says when you're reading the curses, ein mafsikin, you don't stop. You don't end an aliyah in the middle of the klalot. That's how Rashi understands it. Ela echad korei kulam. You give the aliyah to one person and you don't make any division because you don't want to prolong the curses. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah now adds a teaching which seems out of place. Basheni uvachamishi b'shabbat b'mincha. On Monday, that's Sheni, vachamishi, that's Thursday, those are the second and fifth days of the week, and b'shabbat b'mincha, korin k'sidran, we read a section from the Torah, and we read it according to the sidra, that is the regular Torah portion of the week, v'ein olin lahem min hachashbon, but it does not count as part of the counting. In other words, when we read Rishon on Monday, we don't go ahead and then read Sheni on Thursday. We read Rishon again. And even though we read Rishon on Monday and Thursday, when it comes Shabbat, we start over from Rishon. On Shabbat, we read the whole Parsha. What we read on Monday and Thursday does not aggregate into what you've already read. It's just something that is read in between Shabbatot. This does seem out of order. It seems like it ought to belong to an earlier Mishnah because it doesn't talk about the holidays. So it seems like perhaps it should be in the Mishnah on Daf Chavtet Amud Aleph, where we are talking about the order of Torah readings. And even though that's still talking about special Torah readings, it's talking about Parshat Shkalim, Zachor, and Para. It does talk about how after the four special parshas, chuzrin l'kesidran, you return to the order of Torah reading. So at that point, perhaps it would have been appropriate to mention the order of Torah reading and how it only went from Shabbat to Shabbat, and Monday and Thursday and Shabbat Mincha were not part of the Seder. In any event, it's inserted into this Mishnah as a standalone teaching. One of the reasons why it's out of order is the next teaching has nothing to do with the regular scheduled Torah reading. It has to do with the festivals. It says, Shenemar, as it says, Vayidaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem el Bnei Israel, and Moshe spoke all of the holidays of Hashem to the children of Israel. And the rabbis interpret this as mitzvatan. The mitzvah was, Sheyehu korin kol echad v'echad bizmano, that you should read in synagogue each holiday on its proper time. So the way they're understanding, and Moshe spoke the holidays of Hashem, is he leaned the holidays of Hashem on each holiday. That's how it's read. And so that goes back to the topic of the Mishnah, which is Torah reading on all the holidays, but has nothing to do with reading on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbat, which, as I said, seems like it ought to belong in another Mishnah. Okay, now what's going to happen in the Gemara, and we're now two, four, six lines down from the top of Lamed Aleph. In the Gemara, it's going to bring a Braita. A Braita is a teaching that is fundamentally the same genre as a Mishnah, but not included in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made the editorial decisions about what to include in the Mishnah. But there was a lot of parallel material that was kept in separate collections called Braitot and sometimes Toseftot. And the Gemara will often bring these Braitas and compare them to the Mishnah. So in this Braita, in particular, what it is going to do is add in the Haftorahs and some additional Torah readings that are not mentioned in the Mishnah that sort of flesh it out. In addition, besides the Braita, which is we're going to go through it piecemeal, rather than citing the Braita full out, it's going to cite it clause by clause and discuss each holiday. In addition to the Braita, we also have what would be called the Stam of the Gemara. The editorial voice of the Gemara is going to add additional comments, either in its own name or by quoting a few other sages, about the practice of Torah reading as it was done at the end of the Talmudic period, which is a little different from the Mishnah, which is the very beginning of the Talmudic period. So I'll try to point those out as we go, at least the best as I can. So the Gemara begins, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis have taught, and this is the Braita. The Braita says, Ba-Pesach korin b'parshat mo'adot. Now, that is exactly the same as the Mishnah, more or less. The Mishnah specifies b'torat kohanim, that it's the holiday, the section of the holidays in Vayikra, but that's the same section that the Braita means. So the Braita begins just like the Mishnah, Ba-Pesach korin b'parshat mo'adot, umaftirin, but it adds in the Haftarah, the section from the prophets, Ba-Pesach Gilgal. It adds in that the Haftarah that is read is the section from Yoshua chapter 5, before Yoshua crosses the Jordan River and goes into the land of Israel. They do two things. They circumcise all the men, and they celebrate Pesach and bring the Pesach offering. So that's called Pesach Gilgal, when they cross over into the land. So that is, as far as I can tell, the Braita. Now, the Gemara seems to make an additional comment that is not in the Braita, meaning comma, that's the first phrase of the Braita. The Gemara says v'ha'idna, which means nowadays. So the Gemara is saying that in the Gemara voice, nowadays at the end of the Talmudic period, de'ika trei yome, where we celebrate 2 days of Yom Tov, and that could mean in Babylonia, for instance, anywhere outside the land of Israel. So Yom Kama ba'Pesach Gilgal, on the first day of Pesach, we have a Haftorah of Pesach Gilgal, of Yoshua chapter 5. Ulamachar, and on the second day, the day after, ba'Pesach Yoshiyahu. We read about the celebration of Pesach in the time of Yoshiyahu, who was a king in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, which is found in Melachim Bet chapter 23. Now, what it does not mention here is what is the reading for the second day of Pesach. Seems to imply that on the second day of Pesach, you would read the same Torah reading as the first day. At least that's what it seems to imply to me, but we're going to change it as we go, because then the Braita continues. Ushar Yemota Pesach, the other days of Pesach, Milaket Vikore Me'inyanosha Pesach. We collect, in other words, we find all the different sections in the Torah that talk about Pesach, the Korei, and we read Me'inyano Shel Pesach, from those matters related to Pesach. Now, that information is not found in the Mishnah. As we mentioned, the Mishnah only mentions the first day of Pesach that we read from Vayikra Chav Gimel, Shor Ochesed. But here it says, on the other days of Pesach, you read different sections in the Torah related to Pesach. Now, it's unclear if by Sha'ar Yemot HaPesach it means to begin from the second day. That seems likely in the context of the Braita, that the first day you read from Parshat Mo'adot, and then the other days you read from the various sections related to Pesach. But you would think that the Gemara would mention that that now that we celebrate 2 days of Yontif, just like you have a special Haftorah, you would think you'd have a special Torah reading for the second day as well. After all, it's Safek Shel Yom. It might be the first day. We don't know if the first day or the second day is the real day of the holiday. Okay, so Maihi, what are these Torah readings that we do on the other days of Pesach? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Ma'afu Siman. Ma'afu is the Siman. In other words, there are four Torah readings that he mentions, and they are indicated by the letters Mem, Aleph, Pei, Vav. Rashi helpfully tells us what they are. The first one is Mishchu ukhu lachem tzon, which is found in Shmot Yud Bet. Aleph stands for Im Kesef Talvet Ami, which is found in Shmot Chaf Bet. The Pei of Ma'afu stands for Pesol Lecha, which is Shmot Lamed Daled. That's chapter 34. And the U of Ma'afu is Vayedaber, which is Bamidbar Perek Tet. Each of those sections deals with Pesach in some way. And so you have those of the other days of Pesach. The only thing is, now we've now mentioned the reading for the first day of Pesach and for four intermediate days of Pesach. That makes a total of 5 days of Pesach. We're still missing the second day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach, which we haven't mentioned yet. So now the Braita goes on and mentions the last day of Pesach, which the Mishnah did not. Yom Tov Acharon Shel Pesach, the final Yom Tov of Pesach. Korin, we read Vayhi Bishalach. We read from Bishalach, which is what we do, the story of the splitting of the sea, which happened on the seventh day of Pesach. Umaftirin, and we do a Haftorah in Vayidaber David, which is called Shirat David. It's also a song. So since we have Shirat Hayam, we have Shirat David, and that's the Haftorah. Ulu Machar, and on the next day, we read Kol Ha. This is the eighth day of Pesach, so this is presuming that there is a second day of Yom Tov, or an eighth day of Yom Tov in this case, an eighth day of Pesach. Kol HaBachor, we read Kol HaBachor, which we know deals with the holidays. Umaftirin, and we have Haftorah Od Hayom Binov, which is from Yeshayahu, which talks about the down, as Rashi points out, the downfall of Sancheirev, who, according to our tradition, Sancheirev's downfall happened on Pesach, so the Haftorah is related to the Inyan Shel Yom. Now, all of the question is whether or not, where all of this information is coming from. Is this all from the Braita or not? It doesn't really seem like it's all from the Braita. Yom Tov Acharon sounds like it would be, but when you say Ula Machar and on the next day, which presumes that there's a second day of Yom Tov, that would not come from the Braita. That would be either a continuation of Rav Papa's teaching or the Stama of the Gemara. So it's a little unclear, to me at least, exactly what's in the Braita and what's in and what is the editorial comments of the Gemara. But now we have mentioned all the Torah reading and Haftorahs for all the days of Yom Tov, we've mentioned for all the days of Pesach except for the second day, which is still missing from our list. So the solution to that comes in the end of the sugya. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, V'ha'idna, nowadays, that is towards the end of the Talmudic era, although Abaye was not at the very end. V'ha'idna, nowadays, Nahug Alma, the minhag of the world, this is how everyone practices now, is Lemikre, to read the following readings. And Abaye is going to give 8 readings, one for each day of Pesach. Mishoch Torah, pull an ox, kadesh bekaspa, sanctify with money, pisal b'mibara, hew in the desert, shalach b'chor, send out the firstborn. So this mnemonic is 4 phrases with 1 word for each one, and the words kind of go together. It kind of makes it into a little sing-song sentence, which is a little bit of a nonsense sentence, but almost seems to make sense. And the readings are, there are 8 of them. So Mishoch is Mishchu Ukhu, which is Shmo Yudbet. Torah means the ox. Which means Shoro Chesev, that's the reading. In other words, the first day of Pesach is now, according to Abaye, is Mishchu Ukhu Lachem. And the second day is the reading of Torat Kohanim, of Shoro Chesev, that we mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah. So even though the Mishnah says on Pesach you read from Vayikra Chav Gimel, we do that, the custom became to do that on the second day of Pesach, which is the one day that's not mentioned in the Mishnah or the Braita. So the first day is Mishchu from Shmot Yudbet, the second way is Shor Chesed from Vayikra, and then we have Kadesh, which is Kadesh Li Kol B'chor, which is Shmot Yud Gimel, which also was not mentioned for the firstborns. Kaspa is Im Kesef Tal Vayatami, that's Shmot Chav Bet. And then you have Pesal, which is Shmot Lamed Dalet, is the story of the second set of tablets. Bamidbara is Bamidbar chapter 10, as we mentioned. That's Pesach Sheni, the second. If people who couldn't bring the carbon Pesach in Nisan had another opportunity a month later if they became pure. Shlach is the 7th day. That's Vayihi B'Shalach, the crossing of the splitting of the sea. And the last one is Bukhra, which is Kol HaBukhor. So Abaye covers all 8 days of Pesach, and we actually follow, as a matter of practice, we follow the Minhag of Abaye, and we read those 8 readings on Pesach. There is only one exception. We'll see later down on the Amud that there's a special reading for Shabbat Chol HaMoed. So since that reading for Shabbat Chol HaMoed overlaps with one of the other Pesach readings, most of the time we can make it work out. But as Tosfot points out, if the first day of Pesach falls out on Thursday, you end up having to insert the Shabbat Chol HaMoed reading on Shabbat, and one of the other readings get thrown off balance a little bit. Okay. So that is the readings for Pesach. By the time we get to Abaye, we have a tradition for what we read on all 8 days of Pesach, even though it's not 100% indicated in the Mishnah or the Braita. So the Gemara goes on, Ba'atzeret, on Shavuot, we read Shiva Shavuot, which is what it said in the Mishnah, that we read from the section in Devarim, which is the section that we call Kol HaBachor. Umaftirim, but now the Braita adds in what the Maftir is, and the Maftir is in from the book of Habakkuk. And Rashi mentions that the Maftir of Habakkuk talks about the giving of the Torah. So it is related to the inyan of the day and is therefore included. The Haftarah always has to be related to the end of the Torah reading. Now that might be surprising to us because we know that on Shavuot that's not what we read. So what we'll notice is that there's another opinion in the Braita. Acherim omrim, others say that what we read is Bachodesh HaShlishi. We read the section in Shmot dealing with the giving of the Torah. Umaftirin, and the Haftarah is B'merkava, which is the first chapter of Yechezkel dealing with Hashem's chariot. That's actually what we read in common practice. The Gemara mentions, close quotations from the Braita, and the Gemara says, V'aiden, and nowadays, at the end of the Talmudic era, T'ika Trei Yome, when we have 2 days, of Dina and Kitarvayu, we do like both of them. V'ipcha, but the opposite. In other words, we do what the others say, we read from Bachodesh HaShlishi on the first day of Pesach and read about God's chariot in the first chapter of Yechezkel on the first day. And on the second day, we read from Kol HaBachor and the Haftorah from Habakkuk. So we do both, but we flip the order. Okay, now the Gemara goes on to Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, we read Bachodesh HaShvi'i, which is the section from Shmot Chaf Gimel. It's part of Shoroh Chesef. Umaftirin Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. And the Haftorah is Haben Yakir Li Ephraim, which deals with the topic of Zichira, Zachor Ez Karenu Od. And one of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah is Zichron Od, Hashem remembering us. So that's why that Haftorah is included. The Yesh Omrim, there are some who say that we read Vashem Pakad Es Sarah, that how Hashem remembered Sarah and gave her a son named Yitzchak. And that is similarly related to the theme of remembering. Pakad is similar to Zachar. And also we have a tradition that happened on Rosh Hashanah. So that's why the reading is appropriate for Rosh Hashanah, that Sarah was remembered to get pregnant on Rosh Hashanah. Umaftirin, and we have the Haftorah is in with Chana, the story of Chana and the birth of Shmuel, because we have a tradition that Chana, who is also a barren wife like Sarah, was also remembered by Hashem on Rosh Hashanah so that she could give birth as well. So we have, again, for Rosh Hashanah, we have two opinions about what the Torah reading is. And the Haftarah reading. The Ha'idna, and the Gemara says, nowadays, the Ikatre Yome, since we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, Yomakama, the first day, Ki Yesh Omrim, we do like the Yesh Omrim, that is, we read Vashem Pakad Es Sarah, which is what we do in our practice today, and we do the Haftorah of Chana. L'machar, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we do Veha Elokim Nisa Et Avram, and Hashem tested Avram, which is the binding of Isaac, Akedat Yitzchak, Umaftir Naben Yakir. So the common practice changes what the Mishnah and the Braita originally said. The Braita said that we should read from Vayikra Chav Gimel, but the practice was to eliminate Vayikra Chav Gimel, which discusses all the holidays, and instead to read the binding of Isaac, because that has to do with Hashem remembering Yitzchak as he was on the altar, and also because in Yitzchak's place was sacrificed the ram, which was caught in the thicket by its horn, and so it's connected to shofar. So in the end, they choose this reading, which is the reading immediately after Vashem Pakad Es Sarah, for the reading instead of the more general holiday reading that is found in Vayikra Chaf Gimel. Just interesting to note that they did sometimes have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even in the Talmudic era. It sort of depended on the way that the testimony fell out for Rosh Chodesh. So there were years when they had 1 day of Rosh Hashanah and years when they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, but it wasn't always two. So it was only later in history that they had definitely 2 days of Rosh Hashanah every year like we do. And so they didn't institute a special reading until the second day was a certainty each year. Okay, B'Yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, Korin Acharimot, we read Acharimot, which is what it said in the Mishnah. Umaftirin in the Haftaraz, Kicho Amar Ram Venisa. Kiso said Hashem, who is high and lofty. That Haftorah, which is from Yeshayahu chapter Nun Zayin, chapter 57, deals with various elements of tshuva, which a tshuva and atonement, which is why it's included as the Haftarah on Yom Kippur. Now, on Yom Kippur, we have an additional reading, Uva Mincha, in the afternoon of Yom Kippur, Korin Ba'arayot. We read in the section dealing with all the forbidden sexual relationships, Umaftir and B'Yona, and then we do Maftir Yona. We read the book of Jonah as the Haftarah in on the afternoon of Yom Kippur. Of course, the Maftir of Yonah is all about repentance and not being able to run away from Hashem. And that's why it is included on that day. There is a question as to why we read about all the sexual indiscretions on the afternoon of Yom Kippur. So Rashi says, because it is a mitzvah that affects everybody and is found all over the place, so it's a very common thing for people to mess up on, so therefore we read it right at the, you know, right at the end of Yom Kippur. You're about to have your slate cleaned. You're going to go out into the next year, and so we begin with something that afflicts everyone, the sexual attraction in an inappropriate way. So that's what Rashi says. Tosu says differently. He gives two possible explanations. One is that the women come to shul all dressed up to the nines, and therefore they are both interested in their beauty, and they're also making the attraction of the men. This seems strange to us because of on Yom Kippur, people don't do that. People are specifically not so beautified on Yom Kippur, so it wouldn't seem to be such a big deal. They're fasting and they're not wearing nice shoes, and so it doesn't seem like that would be the major issue. So you could say that it has to do with the rest of the year, that the problem is that it's shul is when people see each other, men and women see each other, and it could cause problems of arayot, of sexual attraction in an inappropriate way at shul, which maybe is surprising, but if that's the main social outlet for the community, then maybe that's where it would happen. But then Tosfot mentions another explanation, which is that the idea of sexual indiscretion is often referred to in the Torah as gilui erva, of revealing one's shame, revealing that which is not supposed to be revealed in public. And part of what we're asking Hashem to do is not to reveal our shame. That when we talk about sin, sometimes we also talk about being about gilui avonot, about Hashem revealing our iniquity, all of our sins. So in the sense that there's this relationship between hiding and having those private things forgiven between us and Hashem, we ask Hashem not to reveal the shameful things about us in the same way that we would not reveal the shameful sexual indiscretions. I thought that was an interesting explanation. Let's just do two more lines, even though it's a very long recording already. Because the Haftorah for Yom Kippur morning is Ki Ko Amar Ram V'Nisa. It refers to Hashem as high and lofty. Rabbi Yochanan adds a parenthetical agadic comment related to that. He says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Makom Sh'ata Motzei Gvurato Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any place where you find the strength and power of Hashem, and here it's referring specifically to calling him Ram V'Nisa, high and lofty, Ata Motzei Anvatanuto, you find his humility. So whenever you find God's power, you find that he acts in a humble way, which is a message, of course, to people that we should imitate God, that instead of acting haughty and powerful, when we have power, we should help those who don't have power. Davar ze katuba Torah, first wide line. This matter is written in the Torah, Vishanui Banavim, and it is repeated in the prophets, Umeshulash Bakatuvim, and then it is written a third time in the prophets. Katuba Torah, as it's written in the Torah, in Devarim chapter Yud, Ki Hashem Elokechem Hu Elohei HaElohim Vaduneh HaAdonim, he is the God of all gods, the most powerful of all powers, and the master of masters. Uchtiv Batrei, and it's written after it, in the next verse, Oseh Mishpat Yatom V'Almana, what does God do? He does justice for the orphan and the widow. So even though he is the master of all masters and the power of all powers, what he does is help those who have no power, the orphans and the widows. Shanui Banavim, it's repeated in the prophets. This is in Yeshayahu Nun Zion, which we already mentioned is a chapter that deals with tshuva and atonement. Ko Amar Ram V'Nisa, so says the one who is high and lofty. Shochein Ad, he is eternal. The Kadosh Shemo, his name is holy. That should be familiar. It's the verse from which we get Shochein Ad Marom V'Kadosh Shemo. at the beginning of Shacharit. And in fact, it continues, Shochinad v'kadosh shemo marom v'kadosh eshkon. God is so powerful and he dwells in the heavens. Uchti v'atrei. And then the verse continues, v'yatzdaka ushfal ruach. And he takes care of those who are crushed down and are low of spirit. Mishulash baktuvim, it's repeated for a third time in the writings. Dichtiv, as it says, solu lorochev ba'aravot b'yashimo, God who is, striding on high in the heavens. Uchtiv batrei, and it writes in the next verse, avi etomim, he is the father of orphans, v'dayan almanot, and the judge of widows. So every time we find that Hashem is referred to as high and lofty, he always makes sure to come down and to help those who have no power. So we add that in, related to the chapter of Yeshayahu Nun Zion, which is read as the Haftarah on Yom Kippur. We will stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.